Yeah, now I'm going to start the recording. Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Before we start today's class, I would like to read Srila Prabhupada's quote for today, August 1st. Sometimes by association of a great, one appears great. In the sun is great heat and light, and by reflecting the greatness of the sun's light, the moon dead of night also appears great. Actually, the moon is by nature dark and cloud, but in association with the sun, it has become accepted as great. Letter to Janava, August 1st, 1973. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, everyone. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic of Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, Chapter 2, 143 to 149 verses. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for joining and giving your valuable time and attention this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Chaitanya Bhagavat. I now hand over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ేష్రాయేష్భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయాశ్లోకే నిర్భవతి నైష్టికి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోప కుమారాయ గోవిందాయ శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నమస్తే సారస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారణే నిర్విశేషాశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యే జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ హరే హరే రామ హరే రామ హరే కృష్ణ చైతన్య భాగవత మధ్యఖండ Chapter 2, verse number 143 to 149. Number 143. Katakshane Vishwambara Prakashi Prakashiya Bhaya Dekena Aveshamaya Advaita Acharya. After a while, Vishwambara regained his external consciousness and saw that Advaita Acharya was absorbed in ecstasy. Apanare Lukayena Prabhu Vishwambara Advaite Re Stutikare Yudidu Ikara. Lord Vishwambara then tried to hide himself by offering prayers to Advaita with folded hands. నమస్కార కరితాన్న పదధూలిదయ అపనార దేహ ప్రభు తాండ్రేణి వేదయ. The Lord offered his obeisances to Advaita and took the dust from Advaita's lotus feet. Then he surrendered his body to Advaita. अनुग्रह तुमि मोरे कर महाशय तुमार से आमी हे न जानी है निश्चय। वो महाशय प्लीज बी मर्सीफुल टू मी नो फॉर सर्टन दैट आई बिलोंग टू यू। धन्य हैलाम आमी देखिया तुमारे तुमी कृपा करीले से कृष्ण नाम स्फुरे। माय लाइफ हैज बिकम सक्सेसफुल by you, only by your mercy will I be able to chant the name of Krishna. Tumi se karite para bhava bandhanasha, tumara hridaye Krishna sarvada prakasha. You alone are capable of destroying my material bondage, for Krishna is always manifest in your heart. निज भक्ते बड़ाई ते ठाकुर से जाने ये न करे भक्त ते न करे न अपने। The Lord knows well how to increase the glories of his devotees. He treats his devotees as they treat him. Purport: the Supreme Lord, who is controlled by his devotees, knows how to increase the influence and sing the glories of his servants. Those who are devoid of devotee association cannot know of this. Moreover, just as the devotee servants exhibit various loving services out of respect for their worshipable Lord, the Lord, who is the life and soul of his devotees, also reciprocates with his beloved devotees by rendering them various loving services, thus exhibiting his incomparable, unlimited affection for his devotees. Yet one should not misunderstand that by serving his devotees out of love, the Lord was indicating that he is not the supreme object of worship. Rather, he was displaying the quality of Bhakta Vatsalya, or affection to his devotee. By acting as the devotee of his devotee, to reveal to the world the intimate yet reverential relationship between the Lord and his devotee. चैतन्य भागवत मध्य खंड इन दिस सेक्शन वी सी हाउ चैतन्य महाप्रभु इज वेरी अफेक्शनेटली ही इज ऑनरिंग अद्वैत आचार्य। चैतन्य महाप्रभु ऑफर्ड ओबेसेंसेस टू अद्वैत आचार्य to dust, and then he surrendered his body to Advaita Acharya, and he is begging for Advaita Acharya's mercy, and he is glorifying Advaita Acharya that only because of your mercy that I am able to chant the holy names of Krishna, and he is giving credit to Advaita Acharya. You alone are capable of destroying my material bondage because Krishna is always manifest in your heart. And then we see that in this, the main theme of this verse is that the Lord knows how to increase the glories of his devotees. And just as the devotees deal with Krishna with great affection, Krishna also deals with the devotees with so much affection that Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes the devotee of his devotee. So this particular section talks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna's quality of being Bhakta Vatsalyata, how he increases the fame of his devotees. Kapila Dev says to Devahuti, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirtanya Tirtha Yashasam Punya Shloka Yashaskaram ஜாயேத் தேவம் சமக்ராங்கம் யாவண்ண சவதே மனஹ. One should meditate on this form of the Lord with all his limbs. Who is worthy of glorification? Kirtanya Tirtha Yashasam. And Punya Shloka Yashaskaram. Punya Shloka means devotees, who increases the fame of his devotees until the mind does not deviate. So we see one of the quality of Krishna is that he increases the fame of his devotees. Namo Vishuddha Sattvaya Haraye Harimedase Vasudevaya Krishnaya Prabhave Sarvasatvatam. Prabhave Sarvasatvatam. Prachetas are offering prayers to Lord Vishnu that you are so kind that you always increase the influence of all kinds of devotees. You always increase the fame of your devotees. So, we see that in the material consciousness, in the material world, a master becomes insecure when the subordinate tries to progress. But in the spiritual consciousness, the Supreme Lord takes pleasure in increasing the fame of his devotees. So, Gopinath Acharya told Sarvam Bhattacharya, just consider what the Bhattacharya's previous mundane behavior was. And just consider how at present Sarvam Bhattacharya is enjoying transcendental bliss. So that time Sarvam Bhattacharya replied to Gopinath Acharya, I was simply a less intelligent logician. But by your grace, I have received this opulence of perfection. Then he said, but for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is so merciful, he has converted a crow into a Garuda. Who could be so merciful like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Previously, I was a Nayayika. I was a dry logician. In the association of other logicians who are like jackals, I was simply making a sound like Bayu, Bayu. Now from the same mouth, I am chanting the holy names of Krishna and Hari. Kaha Bahir Mukha Tarkika Shishya Gana Sange Kaha Ye Sangha Sudha Samudrata Range. Whereas I once associated the disciples of logic, all of them are non-devotees, I am now merged in the waves of the nectarious ocean of the association of devotees. Prabhu kahe purve siddha krishna tomara preeti tomasange atma sabara haila krishne mati. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Sarvam Bhattacharya, purve siddha krishna tomara preeti, from your previous birth you have been in Krishna consciousness, you love Krishna so much that simply by your association, we are all developing Krishna consciousness. And then Kaviraj Goswami says that, Bhakta Mahima Badaite Bhakta Sukha Dite Mahaprabhu Vina Anya Anya Vina Anya Nahi Trijagate. There is nobody in the three worlds like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is always willing to increase glories of his devotees and give them satisfaction. And this quality of Krishna is also mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One of the 64 quality is called as Dhritiman. Dhritiman means what? Purna Spruhascha Dhritiman Shantascha Kshobakarane. Purna Spruha, one who is fully satisfied in his desires. And secondly, Shantascha Kshobakarane, one who is peaceful even when there is a cause for agitation. Such a person is called a Dhritiman. So in this world, because a person is not fully satisfied, one cannot actually, one does not take pleasure in increasing the fame of others. Because a person himself is hankering after fame or certain opulences. Therefore, one can, in material consciousness, one cannot actually take pleasure in glorifying others or increasing the fame of others, spreading the fame of others. But Krishna is Purna Spruha, is fully satisfied in his desires. So therefore, he is having a steadiness of mind. Therefore, he is called as Dhritiman. And he is also called as Dhritiman because he is completely peaceful even when there is a cause for agitation. He controls the mind even in the absence of achieving all desires, but he is peaceful even when there is a great reason for agitation. So therefore also he is called as Dhritiman, one who is steadfast. For the first example, how he is fully satisfied in the desires, Rupa Goswami says that Sri Kurvan Api Nitaram Yasha Priyatvam Kamsarir Magada Pater Vada Prasiddham Bhimaya Swayamatulam Adatta Kirtim Kim Lokottara Gunashalinam Apekshyam. So although Krishna is fond of fame, Yasha Priyatvam, but he gave that incomparable fame, Prasiddham, Vada Prasiddham, incomparable fame to Bhima in the killing of Jarasandha. So Atulam Kirtim, incomparable fame. Adatta, he gave that. To whom? Bhimaya, Bhimaya Swayam, Atulam Kirti Madatta. What fame? Kamsarir Magadapateir Vada Prasiddham, the killing of Jarasandha. So Kamsari is Krishna. Kim Lokottara Gunashalina Apekshyam, what remains to be desired by those of superior character? So it is very difficult in this world for somebody to sacrifice a great fame to somebody else. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, he wrote a book on grammar and he was going in a boat along with his friend. And his friend told that he has written a book on a particular aspect of grammar. And he also wrote a book on the same subject. When he came to know, he felt that my Pandit has written a book on the same subject, who would read my book? Thinking like that, he became morose. So Nimai Pandit, understanding the mood of his friend, immediately threw his book into the Ganges in order to make his friend famous. Because the Lord is Purna Spruha, he is never hankering after anything. He takes pleasure in giving fame to his devotees. So the Lord's fondness for fame arises only in order to finish those devotees. And this verse says that Yasha Priyatvam, the Lord is fond of fame. In this world, people are after fame because they are after recognition, distinction. But in the case of Krishna, Krishna is also fond of fame. That fame only in order to give happiness to those devotees out of his affection. Because the devotees get great happiness when Krishna becomes famous. So in order to give happiness to the devotee, Krishna has fondness for fame. It is not because in order to make himself famous, in order to give happiness to his devotees, Krishna has liking for fame. And why? What makes devotees happy? Devotees become happy when Krishna becomes famous. So then in this way, Krishna, out of his, in order to increase the happiness of the devotee, he is fond of fame. And when he actually becomes famous, then he transfers that fame to his devotees. In this way, from his fondness for fame, full satisfaction is accomplished. So Krishna gave the fame to Bhima. And Krishna, when the Sishupal was blaspheming Krishna in the Rajasuya Yajna, nobody in the assembly could even detect a slight change in Krishna's appearance. Even when there is so much of reason for agitation, Krishna was peaceful. So Krishna was peaceful. And we see another point the Chaitanya Bhagavat verse said that the Lord treats the devotees just like the devotees treat him. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashah. The Bhagavatam it is said that tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja ase shrutekshita pato nanu nata pumsam yad yad diyata urugaya vibhava yanti tat tat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Brahma is telling, you who are approached by being heard about, seen and directly served, enter and remain in the lotus of your devotee's hearts, infused with bhakti yoga. O much praised Lord, by your mercy, you bestow to them spiritual bodies appropriate to the mood they cultivate during sadhana. Yad yad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Whatever mood they cultivate during sadhana, you give appropriate body to them. You give appropriate, you bestow them appropriate spiritual bodies and you appear to them in the appropriate mood, in appropriate form. In the Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful verse in the 10th canto, 60th chapter, regarding Rukmini Devi, it is mentioned that Anurupa Rupa. Rukmini Devi is called as Anurupa Rupa. That means the Lord assumes various forms to enact his pastimes, and he was pleased that the form of the Goddess of Fortune had a form of the Goddess of Fortune had assumed was just suitable for her to serve as his consort. So the Lord assumes various forms and the Goddess of Fortune or the devotees assume just appropriate forms just to serve the Lord appropriate to the mood and the avatar in which he has descended. Therefore, Rukmini is called as Anurupa Rupa. She also assumes forms and mood just appropriate to Krishna's mood. So this ye yatamam prapadyante tam sadaiva bhajamyaham. If you see this word, when a person takes one step towards Krishna, in what mood he approaches, Krishna also takes one step towards the devotee. He also approaches in a similar mood. For example, Sudama did his best for Krishna. What is his best for Krishna? He could get 4 handfuls of chipped rice. And Krishna did his best for Sudama. That Krishna gave so much of opulence, that is his best for Sudama. And Sudama, when he came with the chipped rice, his mood was that, how can I give this chipped rice to Krishna? I'll be thoroughly exposed. I'll be thoroughly embarrassed to give this such an ordinary food to Krishna. So Sudama was thinking like that. Krishna also had the exact feeling towards Sudama. Krishna felt that if I give wealth in return to Sudama's gift, I will be thoroughly exposed. My offering will be completely, it will be having a so much of shortfall in comparison to the offering given by Sudama. So therefore, so Krishna did not give the gift to Sudama in his presence. After Krishna, Sudama left, then he gave in his absence. So Sudama was also not willing to take out the chip rice because he felt that how can I offer it to Krishna? It is completely substandard for Krishna. So Krishna also felt that if I give all this wealth, it is completely substandard in comparison to the love which Sudama has shown. In that way, Krishna matched the exact mood which Sudama had. So, even when we see in the Bhagavatam, the conclusion of Bali Maharaj and Sudama both are same. Sudama, at the end, he thought that I gave so little to Krishna, but Krishna considers even the greatest benedictions to be insignificant. Even his greatest benedictions to be insignificant. While he magnifies even a small service rendered to him by his well-wishing devotee. Therefore, with pleasure, the Supreme Soul accepted a single palmful, the plant rice I brought him. And so this was Sudama's mood. And Bali Maharaj also had a similar mood. Bali Maharaj gave entire three worlds to Vamanadev. But his mood at the end was exactly same as Sudama. Aho pranamaya krita samudyama prapanna bhaktartha vidau samahita yallokapalai svadanugraho marair alabdha purvo vasade surerpita. What a wonderful effect there is an evening. Isn't even attempting to offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord. So Bali Maharaj felt that when Vamanadev entered the assembly, I wanted to offer obeisances to him, but I could not offer obeisances because of being surrounded by the demons. So I merely offered obeisances to him in my mind. But this, my offering of obeisances in the mind, it is as successful as those of pure devotees. The causeless mercy which the Lord has shown to me, a fallen demon, was never achieved even by the demigods or the leaders of the various planets. Because Bali Maharaj is feeling that the Lord has become a doorkeeper. So Bali Maharaj, normally, oftentimes, we somewhat in the immature stage of bhakti, when we perform a particular service, we say that, oh, I did so much of service. We focus on how much we have done. But the sign of a sincere devotee is that he does not focus on how much service he has done, rather he focuses on how much he has not done. He focused on how much service he has not done. So Bali Maharaj, he offered the entire three worlds to Vamanadev. But he is not focusing on that, oh, I offered so much of things to Vamanadev. Rather, Bali Maharaj is only thinking that, only thing which I did was that I offered obeisances in my mind. I could not offer obeisances to Vamanadev. Openly, I could offer obeisances only in my mind. He is thinking of his shortcoming that he could not offer obeisances physically. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instructions to Rupa Goswami what all services he should do in Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami did so much of services, but he was very much morose because he could not follow one instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is to excavate the Radha Govinda deities and establish a temple. He could not find the Radha Govinda deities. So Rupa Goswami, he could have focused on so many other services he rendered for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But a sign of a sincere devotee is that he chooses to focus on those services which he has not rendered. So Rupa Goswami's mind was completely occupied by the fact that he was unable to find the Govinda Dev deity. Similarly, same example of Sudama or Bali Maharaj. So whatever Sudama thought, the same conclusion Bali Maharaj had. I did very little, but in return for that, the reciprocation by the Lord is so immense. It is completely disproportionate to my offering. So this mood of the Supreme Lord's, how he loves the devotees, this is exhibited in the Bhagavad Gita. I'll see some thoughts related to that verse and then we'll end. Param pushpalantoyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upakrutam ashnami prayatatmana. One who offers me any of those according to one's capacity, a leaf, flower, fruit, or even water, all of these which are easily available, with overflowing love towards me, and considers the offering purely as an end in itself for pleasing me, of such a pure-hearted soul who has offered that leaf, etc., with great devotion, I, who am the Lord of the whole universe, accept that offering with the feeling that it is something that I would have never obtained otherwise. With that feeling, Krishna accepts it. So we see that generally in this world, great people are not easily approachable. So if the devatas in this world are difficult to approach, then Bhagavan must be many more times difficult to approach than the devatas. So one can think like this. But then the fact is that Bhagavan can be very easily worshipped. He is easily approachable. He is su-aradhyatvam. He can be easily worshipped. And that is actually expressed by Krishna himself in the shloka. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. So in the case of the devatas, we have to work hard in order to please them. But Bhagavan is not in need of our offering. He has unlimited opulences. So he's not expecting some wealth from us. He is only expecting the love for the living entity, love from the living entities. So when Krishna came as a peace messenger to Dhritarashtra and the Kauravas, Vidura told Dhritarashtra, Sarvatmana Andaha, you are blind from all sides. Because you are thinking of bribing Krishna so that the Krishna comes to the side of the Kauravas. And then he said, you cannot bribe Krishna. You are not even willing to give 5 villages to the Pandavas, but you are thinking of bribing Krishna by giving 100 villages in order to bring Krishna to your side. So you don't even have the jnana drishti. You are therefore sarvatmana andaha. You are blind from all sides. Ramanuja quotes a shloka. Patreshu pushpeshu paleshu toyeshu krita labhyeshu sadaiva matsatsu bhaktyeka labhye purushe purane muktyai kimartam kriyetena yatnaha. So patra, pushpa, fruit and water are available everywhere and all time, and you don't have to buy with some money. If you offer this patra, pushpa, phalam, toyam with love, then one can attain mukti. And that is the saulabhyata of Bhagavan. That is how much he is easily approachable. So that saulabhyata of Bhagavan is explained in the shloka 9.26. So here this verse prayatatmanah is used. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktiya prayachati tathagam bhakti upakritam ashnami prayatatmanah. Prayatatmanah means with a pure mind. That means without expecting anything else. Without expecting anything else. And bhakti upakritam. So he uses the word bhakti twice in the shloka in order to emphasize the importance of bhakti. And Krishna is saying that ashnami prayatatmanah, that means I enjoyed, he is using in the present tense. So by that he is saying that, what Krishna is telling that, I have never seen such an offering. Just like a hungry person who has not eaten for many days grabs the opportunity to eat anything. So similarly, I being a hungry person, hungry for love and affection, that I immediately enjoy that offering which is offered with love. So Krishna told Sudama, what gift have you brought from home? I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by my devotees in pure love. But even with great offerings presented with the non-devotees do not please me. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan also says that, he says that ashnami prayatatmanah, one meaning of the word ashnami means usually eating is done only for the fruits. We don't eat the clover or the leaf or the water, we drink water. But Krishna is using only one common verb ashnami for all the words. So by that, one of the meaning is that I enjoy all these vastus in the appropriate way. That means I will smell the flower, I will eat the fruit, and I will drink the water. So by that, ashnami is taken to mean, by the word anja, ashnami is saying that I will also enjoy the other objects in appropriate way. Or another meaning of the word ashnami is that, because I am hungry for love of the devotees, so therefore, I eat everything that is offered with the devotees under the control of the devotion of the devotee without considering whether it is an edible object or a non-edible object. That means Krishna eats even the flower and the leaf. So prayatatmanah means a person who offers without any ulterior motivation, nishkama, without any personal desire. One who offers without personal desire, Krishna accepts such an offering. And another point, Baldev Vidya Bhushan says that patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Whether you see this verse, satatam kirtayanto mam idandachi nidavrataha, or ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate, or patram pushpam phalam toyam, in all these verses, one common thing about the mood of the devotees is that they first offer the activities and then they perform the activities. First they offer their act of devotion and then they perform the action. So this mood is also explained in Prahlad Maharaj's statement. Iti pumsarpita Vishnu bhaktischa navalakshana create Bhagavatyadda Tanmanye Ditamuttamam. If bhakti of 9 times is first performed after being offered by the devotee to the Lord, I consider that type of bhakti to be the topmost. A person who first offers it to the Bhagavan, and then he performs the activities. So this kind of bhakti is superior to a person who first performs the activities and then at the end he offers the activity. So better than that is the first category. It is like, suppose in the case of a devotee, when they cook food, they are cooking first for Krishna. So he first itself determines, well, I am going to make this as an offering for Krishna. And then after offering that, taking that sankalpa, after offering that item to the Bhagavan, in the mind, before even starting the cooking, then a person starts cooking, and then when the particular result comes, he also offers that to Krishna as a formality. He also offers that to Krishna. But on the other hand, the opposite to that is that a person first performs the activities and then offers the results. For example, suppose the devotees make bhoga. When the devotees make bhoga, they know right from the beginning it is for Krishna. That means they first offer the activities and then they start cooking. But on the other hand, when you take a suppose food item from the hotel, so it was not prepared with the mindset of offering to Krishna. So therefore, sometimes when you have to take such foodstuff, we offer it to Krishna and then we take it. Those footsteps, they were not made with the consciousness of pleasing Krishna, but a devotee may accept it in certain emergency situation. He offers the results of the cooking to Krishna. Vishnu Chakotipat says few points that will end. Vishnu Chakotipat says that for the worshippers of the devotees there is extreme trouble, but this is not so for the devotees. So Ashnami Prayatatmanaha, that means I do not accept what is offered by persons who are not my devotees, who have only certain temporary spurt of devotion. But whatever my devotee gives, I enjoy it in a suitable way. The devotee should offer that with a pure mind, with a pure body. That means when we are making something for Krishna, we should have cleanliness of the body, cleanliness of the mind, cleanliness of the antakarana. So pure mind also means what? Pure mind means one cannot give up the service to Krishna's lotus feet in any situation. That is the nature of a pure mind. Dautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam na Munchati Mukta Sangha Pariklesha Pantaswa Sharanam Yata. So a pure devotee of the Lord whose heart has been once cleansed with the process of bhakti never relinquishes the lotus feet of Krishna, for they fully satisfied. Just like a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Or even if the devotee is having a trace of lust or anger that is insignificant, like the bite of a toothless snake. And for this Patram Pushpam Phalam Tuyam, one of the sannyasis from Madhva Sampradaya, he gave another beautiful explanation. He says that offering Patram to Krishna, what does it mean? He says offering Patra to Krishna means every day we should read the Shastras. Patra means a page. We should read the Shastra by turning the page and then offer that Swadhyaya of the Shastra to Krishna. But generally, Swadhyaya of the Shastra is very difficult. It is considered to be one of the tapasya. But suppose if a person is unable to perform this tapasya of offering the reading of the Shastras to Krishna, then a person may offer a leave to Krishna. If a person cannot offer reading of the Shastras to Krishna, then a person may offer just a leave to Krishna. And Pushpam. Pushpam means the fully blossomed stage. Purna Vikasita. So offering Pushpam means the devotee should offer themselves fully. They should offer themselves fully. But suppose if the devotee cannot offer themselves fully, then a devotee can offer simply a flower to Krishna. And then phalam, offering phalam to Krishna. Phalam to Krishna means offering the results of all our activities to Krishna. But since it is difficult because everyone is attached to the results, if one cannot offer the results of all one's activities to Krishna, then he may offer a small fruit to Krishna. And toyam. Toyam means the devotees should offer their tears of affection to Krishna. But if a devotee is unable to cry for Krishna, is unable to offer the tears of affection to Krishna by crying for Krishna, then the devotee may offer a little water to Krishna. So this is the explanation given by Pejavar Swami. So today what we discussed about Krishna's quality of increasing the fame of his devotees, and how Krishna exactly matches the reciprocation of his devotee. And we also discuss in relation to how Krishna loves bhakti from the Bhagavad Gita verse, Patram Krishna Palam Dhyayam. Hare Krishna. Stop here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanayak Pranam. Thank you so much. Such a brilliant class. I'd like to ask the devotees if you have any questions or realizations, please.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for such a beautiful class. We have one raised hand. Shiva Kumar Prabhu, please go ahead.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna,
thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam Swami. Prabhu, one question, a general question, Prabhu. The material world, we understand it's the nature of the material world and what scriptures say. We also have enough experience personally of the nature of this world. But at the same time, Prabhu, the spiritual world or the end goal of bhakti is something there is, I'm just speaking from my perspective, Prabhu. There is an unknown aspect to it in terms of both where we are heading and the end goal also, primarily because the target is something that is, end goal is something that is not within the confines of our senses in this life. That is one aspect, Prabhu. And also the second aspect of it, to be very honest with you, Prabhu, my experience has not been so great with some of the full-time devotees themselves. For whatsoever reason, it did not go in right direction, Prabhu, for some of the associations. So putting these two things together, Prabhu, how do we kind of approach or handle, process the unknown aspect of what we are traversing? Well, we have theoretical conviction from the Shastra that Shastra cannot be wrong or cannot be bad. And that conviction is there. But our practical experience is not in alignment as I stand today, is what I just wanted to check with you.
Very genuine, sincere question. Yeah, Shastras... When we read the Shastras about the qualities of Krishna and qualities of the devotees, Shastras give the ideal, what we say in the today's time, just like in the Photoshop image, you cannot see even the slightest imperfection. Similarly, Shastras, we see the pure devotee's character, the qualities of the Supreme Lord. But oftentimes in our practical experience in our own life, it could be interaction with the devotees, and it could be interaction with the devotees in the temple or in the family. So sometimes we do get bitter experiences actually. And everyone is true. But even for the congregation, brahmacharis, so we do get bitter experiences. So those are actually our testing points actually. Because oftentimes when we are interacting, when we are interacting majority of the time with the devotees, suppose for a person who is living in the temple, he may not have outside a social interaction much. He's interacting mostly with the devotees. Maybe for a congregation member, he may have more interaction with the outside, his job, family, and other things. But nevertheless, when we are technically speaking, although the bhakti destroys all the karmas, kleshagni, bhakti destroys all the karmas. But in the case of a devotee who is practicing bhakti sincerely, he also faces difficulties, and those difficulties are given by Krishna, and which may appear to be normal karmic reactions, and those difficulties are given by Krishna, and those difficulties may come in our interaction with the devotees only. So at that time, how do we still, because our faith gets shaken, sometimes devotees, they behave like this. So one is we have to understand there are devotees at different levels. Everybody is not a pure devotee, but at different levels. Second is, okay, it is for our own purification. Because of that we are mistreated. So therefore, we should not make the faith in the process of bhakti dependent on certain persons. Because if it becomes a person, the faith is person dependent, and suppose if that person misbehaves with us, or the person cheats us, or deals with us harshly, then our faith in the process gets shaken. So, in fact, the very definition of faith is that Shraddhahi Shastrartha Vishwasa. Faith means complete trust in the words of the Shastras. So, we should try to keep that faith grounded in the Shastra, because there are many instances, for example, say even in ISKCON, some leaders who stepped down, say from sannyas, or who went into certain troubles. Then overnight, when that leader stepped down, or when he actually encountered difficulties, the temples also became practically empty. Because all the followers also left actually. You see, in 1980s, there are many temples in say UK, London. When the leader went, all the followers also left. Means like the faith of those followers were dependent on that person. And if this leader was fallen, then why should we follow the process? Like that, they also left. So therefore, our faith, we have to elevate the faith beyond the being dependent on the person. We have to elevate the dependent on the process, on the Shastra. And still, how do we pursue that unknown? Because whatever we see in the Shastra is still unknown. many things we will not be able to experience currently. And that is the definition of faith. Faith means that by which something we perceive the unknown. Okay. That is the very aspect of faith. Even though something is unknown, you are not able to perceive, but still we put faith and then we follow the process. That is the very definition of faith, that the test of faith is. So, and another point is that although in our life it is not that we have reached ecstasy or bhava or prema. Some people might have reached also. That is myself speaking. But although we are not reached a very advanced stage, but one thing, if we honestly introspect at the practice of bhakti, it has definitely brought positive change in our own life. We have become happier, or we have become experienced different changes in our life compared to our life before taking the bhakti. In that way, we can see the effect of the process of bhakti in our life to some extent. And then if we find some devotee, maybe some devotees whom we interacted, we had a better experience, but some devotee or other who practices sincerely, we can see that that person is advanced, has advanced much more. He's more steady, he's more peaceful, happy. In that way, when we see somebody who has more advanced than us, that also gives faith in the path of bhakti. And even with those devotees, suppose some devotees with a certain improper behavior, that can also increase the faith in the path of bhakti, because those devotees who are maybe devotees but also committing aparadhas, they are not having the taste, they are struggling with their anarthas. So, but that can also increase the faith in the bhakti, because they are not following the don'ts properly. They are not avoiding the offenses. Therefore, they are not experiencing the results. In that way, that should also solidify our faith in the path of bhakti. So, we can say that examining our own life from the by seeing the difference between the present and the past, and secondly, by seeing the life of somebody who is more advanced, some devotee will be there, by seeing how they are able to experience superior satisfaction, happiness, peace of mind. And thirdly, by those devotees who are struggling, who are committing offenses, that can also increase our faith of bhakti, because that shows that the power of offenses.
Thank you so much for some elaborate answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for such a nice question and answer, Prabhu. Very grateful to you. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Is there anybody having any more questions for Prabhuji? We have one chat realization. Jayanand Prabhu is saying, very beautiful class, Prabhu. And as always, your classes are so nice. Thank you so much. Is there anybody having any more realizations for Prabhuji? Okay, if there are no more realizations or questions, we can end the call here. I would like to offer my obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyo Chupatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai His Grace Radhika Vallabh Prabhuji Ki Jai Jai. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your wonderful association. Thank you. We look forward to your association again. Hare Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees, for joining today's class. We'll meet again tomorrow. Hare Bol.